That was good timing. You
That was
actually said,
perhaps
see ya.
the best timed outro ever.
Nice.
Wow.
Glad I was here to be part of it.
Man.
I'm Andrew Riley, and this is Drupal Easy Podcast number 74, The Marketing of Drupal. Now with us, we have our usual guests, and we've got three very special guests. So to kick it all off, how's it going, Mr. Michael Anillo?
It is going well, coming off the high of Florida Drupal Camp 2012.
I know, we pretty much spent 3 days together this weekend. I mean, they can take the world from me, but they won't take this weekend from me. We had it together.
It was beautiful, and the weather cooperated, and it was awesome. We should talk.
We'll always have hot olives.
And that voice that you just heard is Ryan Price, who is infatuated with a warm version of a Greek food. How's it going, Ryan?
Excellent, excellent. I mean, what could be wrong about deep frying a breaded olive? Nothing.
My cardiologist might have something to say about that.
I also have to apologize if you can hear any background noise from my feed today. I'm recording on plein air in the middle of the co-working space.
We should just, in the middle of the podcast, have you interview random people that are working there.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. If we ever have like a guest skip out on us, that's what we should do. Ryan on the town.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good segment. Okay, so now it's time for our special guests. And they're all going to be along a common theme. But first and foremost, I'd like to introduce Dave Terry, who I happen to work with. He's the MediaCurrent Vice President of Client Services. And he's also the author of A Drupal Crisis Point, Losing the Marketing War. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How's the temperature up there in Atlanta?
It's cold, actually, surprisingly. And I must say, to preface, I'm very impressed that you guys are doing this taping on the heels of Drupal Camp Florida. So a lot of dedication.
Or gluttons for punishment.
Yeah.
And next up, we have John Hanna, who is the founder of FriendlyMachine.com and also the author of Marketing of Drupal. How's it going, John?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And we also have Glenn Hilton, who's the ImageX Media President and founder, and you're also one of the masterminds behind DrupalSummit.com. How's it going, Glenn?
Great, Andrew. Thanks for having us.
Well, all three guests are going to be part of our top story. If you've been listening to the past, I don't know, 10 or so podcasts, you probably figured that out about by now. But we're going to be talking about the marketing of Drupal, and all three of our special guests tie in with that because they've recently made some type of movement forward or posted some type of blog post about marketing in Drupal.
They all have an opinion.
This is true.
A strong opinion. We'll say.
Yeah. So, where to start? We've got so many things.
Well, let's have Dave and John summarize their blog posts first.
Okay, I think that's good for the listeners out there. Now, actually, before we do it, real quick, we do have links to all these blog posts out there at drupaleasy.com/podcast. Okay, so let the summaries begin. How about we start with you, Dave?
Yeah, sure. So my blog post, I've actually been an organizer for Drupal Camp Atlanta the last 3 years. And last year, we wanted to do something a little bit different. We wanted to try to draw in more non-technical professionals to Drupal. And we had seen that Acquia had done a fairly successful roadshow with their own kind of Drupal summits. And the vision was to bring the summits that Acquia had done in 2010 to camps. And we wanted to run business summits in conjunction with Drupal camps that were already flourishing. So this was the first time we had ever done it in Atlanta. We had about 110 attendees. And really, again, the purpose was to bring together those in the region that had already adopted Drupal and allow them to share their experiences with those that may be kind of on the fence or that were contemplating, you know, adopting Drupal. So, again, it was really targeted towards C and V level professionals, ad agencies, interactive agencies who may have been heard about Drupal but not been using it yet. And it was, you know, quite successful. And we Glenn came to the Atlanta event and wanted to run something similar with the camp that he was running up in Vancouver. And we also had somebody who just had a business summit in San Diego in conjunction with SandCamp. So we now have our own standalone website at DrupalSummit, .com. So the blog post spoke a little bit about that, and it also was on the heels of Dries's London keynote, where he brought up the fact that for Drupal to kind of advance and to go to the next level and for the adoption rates to remain where they've been, that Drupal needs to focus more on the marketing side. So in really increased adoption of Drupal has a positive impact across the whole ecosystem. So that's really the point that I was trying to get across. And I think Drupal, when it comes to marketing can sometimes kind of have the redheaded stepchild syndrome. Because Drupal's dominated by technologists, it tends to be more of an afterthought for a lot of agencies. So, and even the Drupal Association board tends to be made up of folks who come from the technology side. So, again, the purpose of the post was to bring awareness more than anything to this issue. And I threw out a number of just different ideas that I think could happen, that I think should be on kind of the at top of mind for, you know, the association and just for the community in general.
Yeah, the one thing I liked about your blog post was that where a lot of, I'll use the word product for lack of a better word, sometimes, you know, products have a lot of the sizzle but none of the steak. Where I think Drupal and other, you know, open source software projects have the exact opposite problem, where we have all of the steak but none of the sizzle.
And that's why vampires don't use Drupal.
Yes, thanks for bringing it home. That's awesome. I think we wrap up the podcast. Yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting thing because, you know, we've heard Dries talk about it for, you know, at least a couple of years during keynotes, but without a whole lot of stuff going on after that. Dave, I think your blog post, which is a few months old, I think, what was it? It was last fall or last winter, at least, right?
Yeah, I think, October.
I have it right here. So, actually, September 14th, I have it as. Yeah, so there's starting to be more and more momentum. And what I thought was interesting, you know, was after your blog post, you know, things kind of settled down a little bit and we had a few summits. And I kind of forgot about the whole thing until I read John's blog post, which was maybe sometime last month. Is that right, John?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so why don't you summarize yours real quick for us, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, well, basically I was taking issue with a statement that Dries had made in a blog post last year sometime, and he flat out stated that WordPress isn't a competitor for Drupal, and that just doesn't jive with my experience or the experience of people that, you know, I'm familiar with in the Drupal community. And what I was concerned with is that maybe what, you know, Dries is behind Acquia, and maybe these statements were trying to push the marketing of Drupal toward the enterprise at the expense of small business. And I was, you know, worried about what the implications of that were for, you know, the larger Drupal community, because there's a lot of us that make our living selling to small and mid-sized organizations. Now, when I'm talking about small business, one of the things that people had seemed to have like a misconception about is think I'm talking about the local sandwich shop. And, you know, that is a small business, true. But the Small Business Administration is defining small business as $20 million in revenue and below. Of course, it depends on the industry. But, you know, when Dries is talking about the enterprise, I think that he's talking about like these large corporations, because when he gave that DrupalCon in London, he's talking about you know, the large media organizations consolidating on Drupal, large financial services firms and stuff like that. And so when you've got someone like Dries making that push and there's so few marketing resources, I'm worried what happens to the marketing of Drupal. And when you just say WordPress isn't a competitor, and it just sort of seems like, you know, you're showing up to a battle with unarmed, you know, and you're not putting together a proper business case.
Well, I mean, it can be said that it kind of mirrors what's happening with, you know, Drupal core as well, where a lot of the effort and a lot of man hours are being put towards features and functionality that, you know, smaller websites aren't necessarily going to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, I don't think that smaller websites are going to be able to take advantage of everything that's happening in core. But one of the things that Dries had said in a talk that he gave in Australia, and I forget exactly what the when it was, but it was like a summer of 2011, something like that. Drupal's kind of a mid-market product, and that's actually where we're at. We're not really an enterprise product. If you look at the software that's running, the content management systems that are running the really big sites, Drupal really isn't in that game. And you can go up. It's a viable solution for an enterprise. And I love that about Drupal. I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't focus on the enterprise. I'm just saying as we move forward, there's a lot of people that make their livings working with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and keep those as a part of the mix. And I actually like where Drupal's positioned right now. And I see a lot of energy pushing Drupal towards the enterprise. And, you know, even when you talk about the top, I've heard this a lot, you talk about like the top 10,000 sites versus all the sites, and people say, well, with the top 10,000 sites, Drupal is much stronger. But if you look at the statistics, Drupal is still losing out to WordPress in the top 10,000 sites. And I think that the community of Drupal developers are kind of sometimes a little too disdainful of WordPress. And it's not a legitimate solution. It's a toy. It's for hobbyists. But there are a lot of large sites that disagree. And when you're sitting across from a client, you know, they've got some sort of business problem, right? They're unhappy with their website and they brought you in to talk about it. If you're working in small, medium-sized businesses, WordPress is something that they're discussing that you have to have answers for. You have to put together a business case and say, Drupal can meet your needs better than WordPress because ABC. But if you have someone saying, forget about WordPress, they're not the competition, you go into that conversation unprepared.
Well, and you made an interesting analogy in your blog post between Drupal and WordPress, comparing them to the iPad and the Kindle Fire.
Can you elaborate
on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I guess that I was looking at it, you know, kind of like a Venn diagram. You have these two different market segments, and, you know, the iPad is more on the high end for the tablet market, and the Kindle Fire is more on the low end. And I think that's a pretty good analogy for WordPress and Drupal, but you have these two circles that overlap, and there's this big middle part where either solution, Drupal or WordPress, would work really well. And, you know, how do we make the case to that group of users? You know, I'm not saying Drupal needs to go out and fight for the sandwich shop websites, but there's a lot of these mid-sized projects that Drupal really works well for. And, you know, if you can make the value proposition the way that, you know, and the analogy I used in the post was, you know, there are a lot of people that are willing to pay more to have a website built if they're convinced of the value that this other solution can provide. And, you know, we need to make a solid business case that Drupal is that solution so that we can increase adoption. Because ultimately that's what it's all about. That gives all of us more opportunities to make money.
So let's turn to Glenn here really quick. I mean, so let's dive into business summits a little bit here. The business summits that have been put on by the community, you know, the Acquia events notwithstanding, are those events targeting a specific type of business, small, medium, or large, or is it kind of a shotgun approach right now, or what's the thinking behind that?
I think it really depends on the makeup of the community that's putting the events on. Here in Vancouver, we have 5 shops, and we're all together looking at our different strengths and weaknesses and our target market. And we're also looking at some of the sponsors who are coming in to work with us and ensure that any verticals we're going after, we have good coverage at the event. So we are doing somewhat of a shotgun because there's a number of different verticals represented within the group of companies that are putting on this specific event. But I'm sure it's going to be different in each use case.
All right. And, you know, I know that, Dave, you know, after the Atlanta event, what kind of response did you get back from the participants of the business summit? Was it something very positive, or was it, it was great, but we didn't find out exactly what we needed to know, or, you know?
Yeah, no, I think the feedback overall was really positive. And it's something that we're going to continue to do, each year. So, I think more than anything, it was helpful for, organization, network, and one of the things that we did was we broke off into different industry sectors. So all of those who were in the nonprofit space could talk to each other, and it was really helpful for those that had already gone through a Drupal implementation to talk to those that are just, you know, maybe starting one. So you get kind of a, you know, perspective from the actual implementer versus, you know, a Drupal vendor, or just from what you read, you know, on online. Just to kind of, it's actually ironic. Matt Mullenweg is the founder of Anna last week, and I didn't get a chance to attend, but he made the point that he views Drupal as a cousin, and he says we're all kind of part of the same family. And I think John's point is a good one, but some of Dries's recent feedback has been, look, the real competition is the proprietary closed code CMSs. Those are who we need to be learning more about and focusing our marketing efforts towards. So I think we really need to kind of keep that in mind, that WordPress, I would classify as a friendly competitor. There's certainly a threat, because one of the points that I made in my blog post is I think they're narrowing the technology divide that has existed for a long time with some of the functionality that you can do in Drupal. But it's something we need to be concerned about. And my point in the blog post was that it's much easier to increase adoption when you already have a larger percentage of the market share and you're sort of swimming upstream than it is to start at the enterprise and work your way kind of down. So anyway, I really want to see Matt's video, but I've seen him make that point a few times.
That's a good point.
So Dave, or actually for any of you who've actually hosted one of these business summits, do you find that you can pull from the same people who would normally speak at a Drupal camp? Or are you having to kind of go to other parts of your community and kind of like get somebody trained up on what is Drupal? I know just this past week we had someone who was the former chief information officer for the city of Orlando come, and he didn't know a lot about Drupal, but he did have a lot to say about, you know, cloud technologies and open source. So finding you have to dip deep into different pools of talent for these events?
From my standpoint, we're pulling from the community mostly at our event in Vancouver. And the reason is because we want to be sure that anybody that's presenting on behalf of Drupal is actually presenting correct information. And also we're really focusing in on the client users rather than the vendors sharing. I've been at three summits this past year with Atlanta, San Diego, and Toronto, and just seeing the differentiation between the vendor who's up front and the client who's presenting about their case study or their project, and just the receptivity towards them from the audience and the questions that are being asked of them. You can really see that the there's a drop off in terms of the resistance level from those who are kind of exploring Drupal when they're listening to somebody who has gone through the same process as them, and the salesy talk isn't there.
Yeah, I actually was just co-hosting a session about a site built for a library, and I had the librarian do 90% of the talking and get, you know, believe it or not, six of the people in the room were also working for libraries. So it was definitely different language and a different way of talking to people in your own industry. So you can definitely see case studies being really strong content for something like this. And go ahead, Matt. Go ahead, Andrew.
I've just got a quick question for the whole panel. Because right now, you know, we've talked about, you know, enterprise towards Drupal. But ultimately, I think right now Drupal's limited marketing is kind of just reaching in towards itself. Now, for external marketing, you know, getting more people out there who have never heard of Drupal, be it small, medium, or large, how do you feel that the Drupal Association should play into it? We have new leaders of the Drupal Association. Do you think this should be one of their rallying cries, and which direction should they really go?
Yeah, I hope marketing is at the forefront of the Drupal Association this year. I don't know if it's going to be, I think Drupal has a very organic based marketing model. We're very good at talking to ourselves, but when we need to start, what we need to really start doing is evangelizing, you know, outside of the existing fishbowl. We need to be able to draw in and create our technology. That's how we're really gonna grow Drupal. And you know, if you ever go to a lot of the camps, the summits, even, you know, DrupalCon, a lot of the sessions and speakers are sort of, you know, recycled. And I'd love to see more of a push about attracting a whole new audience. And I actually think Acquia is doing a great job. One of the things that we did in conjunction with the Drupal Camp Florida this weekend is two different Hello Drupal courses. And this is really intended at those that have never heard of Drupal before. Students, those who, you know, are in a career transition. And I'd love to see more events like that take place where, you know, we're not just inviting those that already know about Drupal.
Well, Dave, is there anything that people maybe who are listening to this podcast right now can have any effect over, like saying like the Drupal Association may be doing this, or that, you know, organizing events is a way of taking control of the message by just saying, if you're sitting in this room, then we can have a real dialogue. But what about the people that are, they're either reading about it in a magazine or on a blog, or, you know, they're asking their one technologically savvy friend, and that one friend either likes WordPress or likes Drupal, or maybe they like some other, you know, scripting language altogether. You know, is there something that people on an individual level could be doing, or people that could be doing, like, maybe internal marketing inside their organizations as well?
Yeah, I would have to say that we kind of keep the mantra internally here at ImageX that everybody is a marketer. And I think the concept that somebody on your team has the title marketer and they're the ones who's going to go out and market your company is a faulty way to approach marketing. And I think that we as an entire company all have to be taking the opportunity to brand and market and evangelize our company and also Drupal whenever we can. And there's many ways that we can all do that as part of the community too, to help the growth of Drupal. If you look at the opportunities through social media, looking at the opportunities through local events and meetups and groups that you can join that are outside of the Drupal community, that's a fantastic way to be able to help promote Drupal. This past year, our firm attended 10 Drupal conferences, cons, and camps and summits through a number of cities across North America and London in the UK. And those are all fantastic events, but we don't get a ton of new clients through those events because the percentage of people that are attending those events are a very small percentage clients or prospects and a very high percentage of the community. But we did start going and targeting vertically related conferences that were outside of the Drupal community. And two of the conferences we attended, we were the only Drupal firm at those events. And we presented at both events, and we were actually the only open source firm at both of those events too. And so we found a tremendous desire on the part of the attendees to find out more about Drupal. And I feel like we could all do our part, even if it isn't spending all the money to go and attend an event, but getting outside locally. I run the Vancouver Web Design Meetup. There's over 1,000 web designers in that group. And a very high percentage of those designers use WordPress and don't use Drupal. So I try to bring in Drupal communicators and speakers every 3 or 4 months just so that they're getting a peppering of that and starting to see how Drupal can be used and start to consider that as something that they would take on. And so I think there's a number of different ways that we can all be a part of marketing Drupal.
Do you mean brainwashing or marketing?
Recipe for Kool-Aid right here.
Okay.
You know, one thing that Dave had in his blog post that I agree with is like going to events that have nothing really to do with Drupal, like get outside of the Drupal conference circuit because you're just sort of speaking to the converted. Maybe going to a marketing conference or something like that and trying to get the decision makers in the marketing department interested in Drupal as an alternative. And another spot where the marketing is pretty weak is Drupal.org. I mean, you know, those resources on the Drupal.org site really need to be improved and maybe investing in a video. I know the Bristol user group did a nice video, but it was really, again, directed toward developers. It was about what a great community. It was a really high quality video, but maybe something on the homepage of Drupal.org that sort of gently introduces people to Drupal and explains what it's all about and how it could be valuable to them. Those are suggestions that I would like to see implemented.
Yeah, I think Dave, I don't know if you're referring to Dave's ideas specifically, but Dave, you kind of called out, you know, Drupal.org as well, at least for, I believe for the case study. I hope I'm not confusing your two blog posts, but I think, Dave, you mentioned something about the case studies, the section being rather weak on Drupal.org.
Yeah.
Do we not want to talk about that? It wasn't Dave. It was some guy named Shmave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of, there's this, I think, a little bit of fuzziness around, you know, who should be leading these marketing efforts. Should it be community driven or should it be coming from a Drupal association? And I mean, my thought is it really needs to be coming from the association with the community sort of, you know, backing the initiatives. And the feedback that I usually get is the association is well-intentioned but stretched really thin, and there's other more pressing priorities that they want to address. And I just think marketing is one of those things you just can't put on the back burner. I mean, if the funding isn't there to put somebody in this role, then we need to know as a community, you know, what kind of budget is going to be needed to put, you know, to push these issues forward. Because as John alluded to, when somebody is going out evaluating Drupal as a solution and they go to Drupal.org, frankly, it's embarrassing. I mean, there's the material is just grossly outdated. There's not even a viable demo on Drupal.org. I mean, usually you have to go to Acquia to find those kinds of resources. So I really think it needs to be at the forefront. And I hope we can at least bring some awareness around the importance of the issue with talks like this.
And, you know, in the meantime, in lieu of that kind of leadership, you know, what you guys have been doing in the community is admirable. So what would it take to spread these business summits? What is the level of effort required by a local community to put one of these events on? You know, I imagine it's, very similar to a camp, only with the added wrinkle of, you know, you're not talking to people who are already listening. So, you know, what kind of effort goes into, you know, reaching, you know, outside of the Drupal tent to get people to attend these summits?
So one of the things,
yeah. Also, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think to Glenn's credit, he's sort of taken the Atlanta summit to, you know, a whole other level. And he's really trying to make the process of standing up a Drupal Business Summit as seamless as possible. So, again, there's already a website, that is up where all the organizer essentially has to do is plug in their content. The 90%, the 90% of the code and the theme interests. So you may want to speak to a little bit more about what you've been doing on the website and logistics with Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we're trying to do is put all the pieces together so it's as easy as possible. But that work of putting all these pieces together is literally hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars. But we really feel it's going to be very worthwhile for the community to help spread Drupal and to get us outside of our camp-only mentality. The camps have been fantastic for training, but we also need to reach out and to evangelize. And so these... the site is the first piece of that, and to set up a Drupal Summit site for your city, it's just a matter of creating a custom banner image, and that's it. Other than that, you just enter your content in, and all of that's put in place. On the other front, Dave has put together a blog post to outline a lot of the steps needed to plan the summit. And there's a lot to do in terms of marketing. I know Ron at Achieve in San Diego, they had a pretty short timeline, 3 weeks from the launch of their site to the start of the event, which is, I would say, much too short of a timeline in terms of marketing event, but still managed to get 80 people out at the event. But he did use a PR firm to help him, and the whole community was actively cold calling and involved in a lot of the outreach for that event. But we're starting our event in June and are planning a number of months of ramp up for that, and a number of different things we're going to be doing on the marketing and PR and event planning front to ensure that we can pack the place out and have the right type of people in the seats.
Well, I know here, and actually a number of cities just recently started doing Drupal co-working events, you know, so it may be possible that just doing an if you build it, they will come style event might be, you know, it might be really hard to get people to show up to that if they're not prime, if we haven't primed the pump on getting them to, you know, understand and ask questions about Drupal in the first place. So do you think that some of these smaller events, networking events, or, you know, going into somebody's, you know, lunch and learn session at their corporation might be a good way to do things too?
Absolutely.
That's the best answer ever. Yes, go do it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any one way. There's many, many ways that we can do Drupal outreach, and I think some small events have been very successful. I've heard of other people who've been doing it in other cities, and would totally advocate that.
Well, I think that was some very good points about Drupal marketing, and remember, you can always find the notes at drupaleasy.com/podcast, and I want to say a thank you to our guests for all those great points. Now, everyone's going to be staying on, so we're not going to say goodbye to you just yet, but just wanted to give you a little early thanks. So, Mike, I think there's some announcements that are going to be made, right?
We're back.
It's, you know, after, you know, 74 episodes of the podcast, you know, we finally decided maybe we should start taking advantage of this.
You need to hit the crowd cheer.
Oh, yeah, okay, hold on. Well, it's too late. I gotta, you know, I'm focused on what I'm saying now. I can't, you know. We need like a producer whose job it is to hit the sounds. We gotta find someone to do that. Anyway, yeah. So Drupal Easy, we're proud to announce a couple of public trainings starting off down here in Florida in the next few months. The first one is as part of we are an Acquia training partner now, so we're going to be doing our first Drupal in a Day workshop in Orlando in just a couple of weeks on February 24th. It's going to be a low cost, full day. It's $50 for the day. And it's, you know, it's geared straight at beginners. And it's called Drupal in a Day, downtown Orlando. And the one I'm most excited about is we're going to head down to South Florida for a full week of Drupal training. We're calling it the Drupal Easy Jumpstart Days South Florida. It's actually in Plantation, Florida, which is kind of near Fort Lauderdale. It's April 16th through 20th, and we're doing Introduction to Drupal Day, 2 days of site building, a day of module development, and a day of theming development. And we're really looking forward to it, and we're hoping to kind of kickstart the public trainings again and get things moving. We know that there's a strong need to train, you know, people on how to build sites, and just even at this camp over the weekend at the Florida Drupal camp, there were, you know, many companies who were looking for people, and unfortunately, the need is still outweighing the supply. So check it out at drupaleasy.com. All the details are there, and let me know.
Okay, the next thing we have to decide is: are we Ghostbusters 2 or Blues Brothers 2?
I think I'd have to go with Ghostbusters 2.
Good choice.
Yeah, I think Blues Brothers.
Slime in that, though.
Yeah, but the painting guy—he was kind of creepy. That stuck with you.
Viggo the Destroyer.
Oh, you are. That was impressive.
The theme being, we're putting the band back together.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, that's excellent news. Even if we don't have the people cheering, I'm sure everyone in their cars is cheering along. So, how about the remainder of our five stories? So we'll just have four stories. Oh, that's excellent.
That sounded more like rain. Everywhere. I think we actually need cheering. See how long it takes me? I gotta see if I just keep the soundboard up, we'll be good. I'll keep it up right now, and then the rest of the podcast will be jam packed, and then no one will ever want it again, and then I'll be off the hook.
Oh, perfect.
That's what I'm gonna go with.
So let's talk the remaining four stories. And I think, Mike or Ryan, one of you put this up there, that we've had our first ever community-elected board members announced for the Drupal Association, the ones that are going to do the marketing for us. Which one of you guys put that one up there?
I actually put that one up
okay.
there. And this is one of those stories that we've been trying to, you know, the timing of the announcements, it just – that made it so we couldn't really fit it into a pod, you know, in the last couple podcasts. But now that the election's over and, you know, there's nothing for anybody to do other than cheer. Oh, and there I blew it again. Gee whiz. We do have, two new board members to the Drupal Association. Now these are, at-large board members, which basically means they came from the community. They could be, they were nominated either by themselves or by somebody else, and it was just basically wide open. I think there were 10 total nominees, and the two new board members, I'll actually let Andrew say their names so that we can hopefully get a name that's a little more difficult for him, which I don't think it's going to.
Oh, no, these are easy. We have Donna Benjamin and Steve Perkis.
There you go.
Ah, see, so, gotcha.
And they're both, neither of them are from the United States, which is interesting. But, you know, Drupal's not from the United States either. So, you know, maybe it's not that interesting.
Well, for the rest of the world, they're saying that's everything we've already known. And everyone in America is, you know, questioning it.
Yeah, I think the one interesting thing about the election, and it kind of took place a few weeks ago, was that one of the... And I'm going to use air quotes when I say requirements, because I'm not sure if it was a hard requirement or just a strong suggestion, was that each of the board members are expected to attend 4 times a year in-person board meetings. And there's a lot of discussion about whether or not that could actually limit the pool of potential applicants purely from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a drain for, you know, people that don't have lots of money or big corporations behind them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously two of those meetings would take place at two DrupalCons, you know, obviously North America and Europe.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think that the association was willing to offer support for that, some financial support to get you to the meeting.
Right. Absolutely. It was, you know, dependent on the situation that they're, you know, they were leaving it open to provide financial support.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we can only hope that that didn't stop anybody from being nominated. But, you know, it was great to see such a, you know, an interesting turnout of people who were the actual nominees, a lot of names that are recognizable. But, you know, hopefully, you know, Donna and Steve will represent us well. And, you know, maybe Dave, you should call them after the podcast and, you know, convince them to make marketing their number one priority.
Absolutely.
I'd like to start the Drupal Easy lobby. We're going to start our own super PAC to lobby the Drupal Association board. We'll bribe them with candy and beer.
We can make commercials. That'd be great.
Well, one thing that I noticed about this is, do you know there are only 655 votes cast? I figured there'd actually be a lot more.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that because it wasn't limited to association members. It was open to the entire Drupal community, which was kind of interesting that there were so few.
Maybe they need to get YouTube videos like all the current U.S. candidates.
Maybe they need to market the elections better.
I don't know. I hope they market Drupal before they market the elections.
No laptop stickers to be posted within 5 inches of your screen. I mean, we're going to set up some rules about how we can poll people.
Andrew, you want me to set up the next story? Because I'm pretty sure it's yours.
Yeah, well, disclaimer, I did not post this. One of you guys posted it, but it's putting me on the spot. Okay.
Yeah, well, I posted it because it was, you know, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, do you know anything about these Drupal Coworking Friday follow-ups?
Nope, never heard of it. Why do you ask?
Okay, next story.
Yes, I might have heard something about this.
So what happened?
A few weeks ago, there was the Drupal Coworking movement event. I don't know what you want to call it. But essentially, it was a day, and it's a repeating day. It's the last Friday of each month, where local cities choose to have a coworking space, and Drupal professionals can all meet there and work in a coworking-friendly environment. So this post specifically was a follow-up, just to say the combined stats and photos that we had. So just to give you a couple quick numbers, it looks like it looks like I did the article. there were 10 cities that participated and about 100 people worldwide that were actually a part of this. And I listed out all of the different cities that participated and who the various hosts were, because a lot of this was, you couldn't have it without the hosts who are willing to talk to a co-working space and get it all properly advertised or marketed, if you will.
Noticing that one of the hosts was actually our new Drupal Association board member, Steve Perkis, right?
Yeah, for Brighton, UK, yeah.
And as since your boss is on the phone, does he want to, like, you know, shake his hands and say, we're very happy to support Media Currents on what, 5 or 6 of these as the sponsor?
Yeah, 4 of the cities, yes.
Comment from Dave?
He's unmuting right now.
Yeah, no, it's something that, you know, Andrew deserves all the credit for. I mean, he really kind of initiated this and has been running with it. And we told him we were fully behind it. I think it's a great way to get the local community engaged more in Drupal. And I know a lot of Drupal professionals work from home these days, and, you know, cabin fever can kind of sit in. So it's a good way to kind of get out and connect with your local Drupal professionals.
And I've got a good little teaser. Next month, there's a new city that just signed on, and it's going to be Berlin. So it's definitely expanding. I think it's a pretty good movement. And from what I've heard, well, actually, we've had multiple people on this call that were in it, but the feedback's been good so far. So I'd recommend everyone check out this post so you can find out about, you know, starting one in your city or attending one near you.
Jawohl.
So the next one is March. Geez, I'm in the wrong month. Holy cow. So it's February. What's the date of the last Friday, February?
It is the 24th.
The 24th. So what do people need to do to get involved? I mean, if you want to host one, what's required?
Well, it's pretty open, but I would recommend posting to groups.drupal.org/co-working that you're going to be having the event. But as far as what you have to do as a host, aside from posting, show up at your location, make sure your location's fine with it, and then be able to facilitate it. But other than that, it's up to you. You can work, you can do what you want to.
All right, super.
Okay, switching tabs back. And for our next story, Drupal Gardens, they had like a whole laundry list of stuff they released over this past couple weeks.
Yeah, I added this story not because I wanted to go into the details of what they released, but I thought what was interesting here, and you know, it's kind of a good model for other, you know, other companies and organizations that are using Drupal and maybe, you know, make tweaks to it. They actually, you know, they added a bunch of functionality to Drupal Gardens, but the functionality was really based on a number of existing modules. But, you know, as most of our listeners know, Drupal Gardens is geared to, you know, it's basically there to be the lowest friction way to create a hosted Drupal site. So Acqui does a great job of making sure any functionality they add has a really smooth user interface. I mean, they're the ones who were behind Views 3 and the new Views interface. So it's a really good example of how they took some existing modules, worked with the existing maintainers to add either new user interface or new features or just make it easier to use, so that not only did they get something out of it, something that they could use on Drupal Gardens, but they contributed everything back to the Drupal community. And I just think it's a great model, and it's something that, you know, I know every now and then Acquia gets, you know, they get a bad rap for some things, and you know, people worry about things that they do, but here's a really good example of something really, really good that they're doing, and they continue to do. You know, a couple modules.
Oh, go ahead. Brave to include taxonomy access control in something that is so general purpose, but apparently you actually have to be in the pro level plan. So it's not like you can go get the free version and have like password protected sites right off the bat.
Well, but as part of that, they worked with Jess to the maintainer to create a new user interface for it, which presumably is a lot easier to use. You know, they did the same thing with Views Bulk Operations. I mean, that module is used by thousands of sites.
And it's a pretty powerful module.
Yeah, and they worked, again, with the maintainer on the UI. So stuff like that, it's really exciting to see that, you know, there are changes that were made to, you know, community modules, you know, that were paid for by a corporation that were then directly brought back into the community. So,
excellent. Kudos to Acquia and the Drupal Gardens team.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, excellent. So
it was almost right on there.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. The next story actually leads directly into it, and that's the Drupal usability study. Now, I posted this one. Now, did anyone on this podcast happen to watch it live?
Oh my gosh, I did. I'm gonna let you talk before I totally forgot about this. But
it was while talking about it live. Did you ever see that commercial where there's like 100 people just going Sputnik and then Sputnik, Sputnik, and you have no idea what they're advertising? And it was for the Game Show Network. Anyone remember that? I'll pretend everyone who didn't say anything says yes.
No, I'm there with you. Everyone's like screaming out the answer to the trivia question.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what, at least that's what I was doing. I don't know about everyone else, but when people were clicking around, I was like, no, don't go there. Go over there. Which is actually what this was supposed to do.
I found it. I don't think I'd be a good candidate to participate in a usability study as a proctor. I don't know what the right word is. Because I found it extremely frustrating to watch the videos.
The help desk support is the official title, I believe. It was Jen Lampton who was performing that duty.
Yeah, God bless her and anybody with that amount of patience. Because I was literally screaming at my computer screen after about 3 minutes. Yeah, I was like, no, left, click left. Oh. I mean, but it's such a great exercise you know, for anybody, you know, involved in building Drupal sites, just to watch a few minutes of it, just to, you know, get an idea of, you know, look at a Drupal site through somebody else's eyes. Yeah, it was, it made a definite impression on me.
Well, and for a little bit of background, they did a lot of usability studies going from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, and that's what helped shape a lot of the user interface for Drupal 7, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So this is, I mean, it's good. Drupal's actually looking for its flaws, and it's not just asking all of its top developers, because then we'll kind of get what we've always got. They're looking to the public to see how they're using it and how we can make it easier in the future than when we can take out the evil WordPress, our worst competitors that we're going to sink. Sorry, well, this actually, blog post earlier.
This actually rotates back to our first subject of the marketing of Drupal, because in order to get this usability right, and in order to get, you know, the marketing of Drupal.org correct, you just have to think like a non-Drupaler, and the easiest way to do that is to invite them in.
That's a great point.
Yep. So, I mean, I hope this will go towards making Drupal 8 even more awesome with all these great refinements that will come up from this.
I think that Dave, do you have to bail on the call at some point here?
Yeah, I've got about 5 more minutes, so yep.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, we'll talk really quickly.
Well, now, spoiler alert, you're going to miss the end of the podcast.
Yeah. It's okay, next week on Drupal Easy. Well, now it's actually a quick word from our sponsors, webenabled.com.
Yeah, how much of a help were they yesterday?
Oh, well, they were super helpful for me. Because I had a problem and they were helping. They definitely went above and beyond to help me out with my problem.
Yeah, so yesterday during Florida Drupal Camp, we did our annual Coding for a Cause event, and we've used webenabled.com, their development servers, you know, for the past 3 years. And, you know, as always, we hit little glitches here and there, but, you know, we were able to connect with WebEnabled via live chat, and, you know, as we found little issues, they solved them, you know, pretty darn quickly. I know we've talked about their support, you know, before, but, you know, with everything from yesterday still fresh in my mind, it's, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, what one of the things that I really like about them continues to be their support.
Yep, it was definitely helpful because it, phew, yeah, I mean, I was stopped dead in my tracks, and within just a few minutes, they were actually able to get me up and running. So that was a lifesaver for me and my team.
Yeah, so anybody who feels like they're just kind of out there and get stuck and, you know, if you're using WebEnabled, you go over to that support page, and if you see the live chat support online, you know, usually your problems will be solved in just a few minutes. So check them out at webenabled.com.
Okay, now it's time for some picks of the week. Mike, we'll have you up first, and your pick of the week is Chat Roulette, right?
Chat Roulette, you got it.
Please don't go to that link, people.
Well, as of right now, this is a completely sober podcast because we haven't said any of our two drinking names.
That's true.
Until this very second, because my module that I'm picking is actually from Open the Bottle, Dave Reed, Take a Shot. And this is, you know, this is a classic Dave Reed module, which, you know, when I saw it, I knew instantly this was going to be my pick of the week. It is Module and Theme Roulette.
With a handgun on it.
With it, yeah. And what does this module do? It randomly adds modules and themes to your site. I'm not sure what else to say about this other than that's a fantastic idea. And I think we should tie this in to some sort of Drupal site building competition where you get a blank Drupal site, you install this module, and then you build a site with whatever you get.
Like Iron Chef, we could have Iron Drupal.
Exactly. The module of the day is, yeah.
Well, actually, this module, I'm taking a look at it. It actually requires the bad judgment module.
Yeah, pretty much everything Dave Reed says does requires bad judgment, doesn't it?
Wow.
No. No. Now that we've had him on the podcast, we can say whatever we want about it. You know?
He'll say, no, I love this module. After you.
I can't wait to, you know, serendipitously install this module on someone's website. You know, that'd be great.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I need to change all my passwords, right?
There you go. All right.
Okay, well, my pick of the week is the Commerce Product Bundle module by Thomas. And of course, I choose the difficult last name for a person. Thomas Hunziker?
Hunziker.
Hunziker? Okay, we'll go with Hunziker. It's probably much better than my guess. Now, what this module does, it's for Drupal Commerce, of course, but it allows you to make products that are really made up of other products. So let's say you had a gift basket company and you sold various jams and various candies. Now, you wanted to sell a basket that had both candy A and candy B in it. You could actually create a new product and reference the product of candy A and candy B in there, and it makes that as a new product altogether. So it's a pretty helpful module if you need to like bundle them.
Is this the Soylent Green of modules?
Yes, so the products are made of products.
Well, but can't you do this? And this, you know, but can't you do this with regular commerce with the product reference field? Just make that a multi-select.
Well, yes and no. It doesn't work exactly like that because then it starts. Well, kind of treats it like attributes if you put them together. I believe this will create a new product that you have rules that you can have it affect it separately. It will add up the prices for you, or you could have it not up add up the prices. So it's definitely got some different features than just comma separating them in a product field.
So is this similar to Uber Cart's product kits?
I believe it actually spawned from that. There's a link somewhere on the project that says, it actually links to a ticket with some Uber Cart functionality of where it kind of came from.
Oh, all right. Fantastic.
Okay, Ryan, you're up.
Okay, this is actually a module that I wish I had in a past project. It's called Accepted Limits. Right now, there's only a Drupal 6 version, but I'm sure that some fastidious programmer out there could fix that for Drupal 7.
You just can't handle it, Captain. Those types of things.
the use case I had for this was we were asking people for some input, and then if they gave us the wrong input, we wanted to show them a message. That's essentially what this module does, and it lets you say there's either a minimum or maximum value on this field. If you answer that your age is less than 13 years old, we have to tell you, sorry, you can't be a member of the site. But we don't want your form to not validate. We still want the form to land properly. We don't want to go through the regular thing where it kicks you back to the same page, highlights that field in red, and just says, you know, improper input. We want to actually like deliver a nice user experience, and so I think this module would be really good for that.
So this is like a non-code way of creating a custom validation function.
Well, the word validation is very loaded, but yes.
Okay, right. All right, cool.
Yeah, well, I'll have to try it out. So, site of the week. Who wants to introduce this one? This one's going to be a fun one.
You have to say Zed, so yes. I think I'm going to have to do it.
Go for it, Ryan.
ZZ9, plural Zed Alpha. This was sent in by a listener named Alex McClintock. He may also be the developer of the site, although I don't remember at this time.
Yeah, I don't think he specified that he was or wasn't. So
he used the DrupalEasy.com/site of the week form, and it is based on, as you may well be able to guess, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams.
Oh, what else could come up with something as awesome as ZZ9?
So was that... Okay, so I haven't read the book. Was that in the movie? I don't remember that phrase. And maybe it's just because I'm not that... You know, I've only seen the movie once. Was it something that was in the movie?
I believe that it was somebody's, like... access code that they just sort of randomly guessed, and that ended up doing something that nobody expected to happen. Maybe Andrew would remember this more than me.
It's trying to remember because I've read the book twice, watched the movie.
In the book, there are so many little situations where it's like, and this happened on March 25th, which also happened to be the day that Attila the Hun stormed the castle. And it's like two things that should have nothing to do with each other. And in this case, it has like something to do with maybe even like Arthur's, you know, phone number or something along those lines.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with a sector in the galaxy, but I don't know. Someone needs to put in our comments, if you could please explain this to us.
There you. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's where the secret planet was.
Oh.
The one where they make other planets.
Gotcha.
Towards the end of the movie.
Yes.
Right. Or the end of the book. Sorry.
See, we got it. Collective geek brain.
It's just like with the usability study right now. Right now, there's at least 15 people worldwide screaming out in their car.
To be on the other side of the looking glass.
Well, thanks to Alex for submitting that site, and you can submit your own at drupaleasy.com/site of the week, I think. I always forget to add that.
Site of the week. Got to say it all together because there's no spaces.
Oh, that's true. You got to say it really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, for some Twitter feeds, if you want to stalk us outside of the podcast, you can always find us at drupaleasy. And I'm at Andrew. I just messed my own up.
That's
I'm
great.
Andrew M. Riley. And Ryan
that guy
is
over
Liberator.
There is Andrew.
Yeah. Ryan is Liberator with the 2.0 spelling. Mike is Ultimike. Our sponsors are web-enabled. And we have our guests. It's at Media Current. And we have Redpoint HQ and Glenn Hilton. I would like to say a special thank you to all of our guests. Thank you for coming on and talking about marketing Drupal. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Andrew, Mike, and Ryan.
So everybody, group hug.
Do you have a sound for that, Mike? A group hug sound?
I don't. Well, never mind.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. And now it's time for some quick little plugs. Remember, you can go to drupaleasy.com/podcast to find all of our notes or add comments about what you didn't like or what we may have gotten wrong. You can always see what's coming up, a little insight by going to Delicious and looking for the tag Drupal Easy Podcast. And remember that we have some upcoming guests that are going to be super awesome. We have Drew Gorton and Ryan Dowling from NodeSquirrel.com. And then in the future, we have Chris Stahl from Acquia coming up. So be looking for those. And remember, Mike's going to be helping out with some DrupalCon mentoring training, site building, and more on Monday, March 19th. That's right before
DrupalCon Denver.
Yep. So I guess you'll see you there.
Right.
Well, I'm Andrew Riley, and this has been Drupal Easy Podcast number 74, The Marketing of Drupal.
See ya!